Okay, good morning, everybody. Good an Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning, Erev Shabbos at the home of Rivka Fuchs, the School of Mitzvos Maisim Tovim. We are on page 17, please. Okay, so we learned last time a beautiful Medrash from Shmos Rabbah. We learned it inside about how to understand and what does it mean that Shabbos is equal to all the mitzvos in the Torah. We are not going to do that again. We learned that last time. All we're going to do is start from the top of page 17, so we just know where we're up to without reviewing the sources we learned last time. What Shabbos preparations do for us. Okay, the Medrash tells us about the great importance of Shabbos, said Rav Elazar bar Avina, page 17. We find it written in the Torah and the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim that Shabbos is equal to all the mitzvos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Am Yisrael, if you're worthy and keep Shabbos, I consider as if you kept all the mitzvos of the Torah. If you desecrate, I consider as if you desecrated all the mitzvos. We learned that in depth last time. We see Shabbos is so important. It equals everything else put together. So we have to spend some time discussing how we can merit the greatness of Shabbos. You know that every Yom Tov has a special mitzvah. Pesach has matzah. We're coming up. We're not so far away. Sukkos has the sukkah and the arba minim, the luluv and the esrog. Rosh Hashanah has shofar. But what is the special mitzvah morning of Shabbos? What can we do to bring about the unique kedusha of Shabbos? So if you would say that every Yom Tov has a special mitzvah, what is the special mitzvah of accessing the uniqueness and the kedusha of Shabbos? So there is one mitzvah, and interestingly, when I sat there to prepare, I always love when I see it really connected to now this week's parasha. This week's parasha is Bo, but he's quoting from next week's parasha B'Shalach, and since we only learn every other week, we could say it's our upcoming parasha. There is one mitzvah, and the mitzvah is from Sefer Shmos, Perek Tes Zayin. As you can see, he gives you the footnote. It's next week's parasha, B'Shalach. What happens in next week's parasha? In this week's parasha, they leave Egypt. Parashas Bo, they leave Egypt. And in next week's parasha, a lot of things happen in next week's parasha, but the first thing that happens is Kriyas Yamsuf, Perek Yadal, Kru Tesvav, or Kriyas Yamsuf. Perek Tes Zayin, they already find themselves in the desert. And at one point, what happens is they find themselves without food. Their food runs out. They pack up, in this week's parasha, we're told, in Perichov Tes, towards the end, they pack up their leftovers, bound up on their shoulder, and the dough didn't have time to rise, they run out of food. So when they run out of food, they turn to Moshe and they say, what are we going to eat? Perek Tazayin Pasuk Aleph. Okay, they've left, they've crossed Yam Suf, they journey from Elim, and they come, the entire assembly of the Bnei Israel, to the wilderness of Sin, between Elim and between Sinai. V'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh hasheni. So what's the 15th of the second month? Let's say some merits time. They left in Nisan, so what are we up to? The 15th of? Iyar. Okay, so it's the 15th of Iyar. Vayalonu kol adas b'nei Yisrael al Moshe v'Aaron b'midbar. The whole assembly of Israel complained against Moshe and Aaron in the desert, and they said to him, Miutein Musenu b'yad Hashem. Beretz Yitzrayim. Would that we have died by the hand of God in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate bread to satiety. So it's a little bit revisionist history. They just left a month ago and they're already talking about how good the food was in Egypt, and there was so much meat and there was so much bread and we were so full. He took us out to die in this desert. We're all going to die bera'av, of hunger. So what does Hashem say? Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, hineni mamtir lechem min hashamayim. I'm going to rain down, I'm in 16:4 in Shemos, I'm going to rain down for you bread from the heaven. Vayatza ha'am, and the people will go out. V'lok tu devar yom b'yomo. Every day they will gather what they need, l'man anusenu, in order to test them. Hayedech b'torah simlo, if they will go in my way or not. And now we come to the pasuk that Rav Shimshon Pinkus just quoted. V'haya bayom hashishi. So you see, last sentence on page 17, it says, and on the sixth day they prepared what they brought. You see that? I'm now quoting the pasuk in Lashon HaTorah and Lashon HaKodesh. V'haya bayom hashishi, which is today, was on the sixth day. V'heichinu eis asher yaviu. What is heichinu? They will, what does it mean, l'hachin? To prepare. So they will prepare what they will bring. V'haya mishneh, it will be double. Al asher yilkutu yom yom. What they gather every day. So what have we just been told about the sixth day? On the sixth day, they will prepare what they bring. It will be a double portion over what they gather each and every day. So we know with the man, how much should they gather every day? Only what they needed for that day. However, when it comes to Shabbos, v'haya mishneh, it will be double. Why do we eat lechem mishneh? We eat lechem mishneh, commemoration of the double portion of man. There will be a double portion, al asher yilkutu yom yom, but they gather each and every day. Let's go to when the man actually falls. V'ta'al shichvas hatal, there was a layer of dew that ascended, v'hineh al pnei hamidbar, over the face of the desert, dak, something thin. Do we know what the man looks like? No. Mechupas dak, exposed, thin, ka kefar al arts, like frost is there. So I have no idea what it looked like, but it was some kind of heavenly food that rained down from Shemaim, and when the dew lifted, you had this frost-like thin covering over the face of the earth. Vayiru b'nei Yisrael, the people see this. And vayomru ish al achiv, one man says to his brother, manhu. Which means it is man, but also you could sort of read it, mahu, what is this? They have no association with such a food. Ki lo yadu mahu, that's exactly what the Torah says. They did not know what this was, because Moshe said lechem will come down from Shemaim, so maybe lechem would look like bread, it would look like a loaf. It was this thin, frost-like, we don't know. Vayomer Moshe aleim, so they say, what is this? Lo yadu mahu. Vayomer Moshe aleim, hu halacha mashar nasan Hashem lechem la'acha. This is the bread that God gave you to eat. Keep in mind, at this point, they don't know they're going to be 40 years in the desert, but it's going to have to last every day for 40 years. Zeha davar shar tziva Hashem, liktu mimenu ish lifi achal. This is what God commanded. How much should you take? Only what you need to eat. Omer lagugolos, and omer is the measurement, lagugolos per head, mispar nafshosechem ish lasher ba'alo tikach. So how many? So if you have six people in your tent, you take six omer lagugolos. If you have four people in your tent, it is four omer lagugolos, however many people in your tent. Vayasu kein b'nei Yisrael. Oh, I thought you said something. And the b'nei Yisrael did so. Vayilkutu hamarbe v'hamami. He who took much and he who did more. He who took much and he who took more. When they came back to the tent, Chazal say, what did they have?
Nothing.
No, not nothing.
The same amount.
Whoever took more and whoever took less, when they came back to the tent, they had exactly what they needed. You couldn't take more and you couldn't take less. Vayamodu ba'omer, and they measured the omer. Veloha edifa marba. He who took more did not have extra. Vahamami lo hachzir, and he who took less was not missing. Ish lufi achlo lakdu. It was a miracle. No matter how much you took, if you slacked on the job and you took half an omer lo gogolos, when you got home, there was an omer lo gogolos. And if you took two omer lo gogolos, when you got home, there was still only one omer lagogo, so it was clearly a miraculous food. Vayomer Moshe aleim ish al yoser mimenu ad boker. Here comes the test of amuna in the man. You cannot leave any over till the morning. So we can't imagine, but if you could imagine, go to sleep with you have no food in your house at all. It's very scary. I mean, we're laughing because it's so scary. If you think of your freezers and your kitchen freezer and your extra freezer and then your extra freezer and Baruch Hashem, go to sleep. There's no food in the house. Below Sham, so there were people who did not listen to Moshe and they left over and it became disgusting. It was wormy. Moshe became angry and they gathered every morning, each one according to what he could eat. And if you left over, they would melt in the sun. It would become wormy. Vayehi b'yom hashishi. It was on the sixth day, laktu lecha mishna. When they gathered, they actually gathered a double portion of bread. Shnei ha'omer, two omers, not one. La'achad, two omer for one person. And the assembly comes and they tell Moshe what happened. They don't know what's going on. I thought we're only supposed to pick one omer every day. Today it's Yom Hashishi. We have two omer per day. So the heads of the tribes come to Moshe and they say, what's going on here? So Moshe says, Hu asher diber Hashem, Shabbason, Shabbos Kodesh, l'Hashem Machar. This is what I told you. They have no experience with this. Tomorrow is a Shabbason. It's a day of rest. It's a holy day for Hashem tomorrow. Eis asher tofu efu. We learn a lot about preparing for Shabbos from the passage of man in Parshas Peshach. It's very interesting. It's more about Shabbos than about the man. Asher tofu efu. What you have to bake, bake when? Now. Ayom Hashishi, ve'es asher tivashlu bashelu. What you have to cook, you have to cook now. Ve'es kol ha'odev hanichu lahem. Whatever is left over, put away. The mishmeres ad haboker. So this is the one day when you can leave over till the morning. Ve'yinichu also ad haboker. So they taka left it over till the morning. Kasher tziva Moshe, like Moshe commanded. Ve'lo hev ish. Hiv ish, verima lo haiso, but it was not disgusting, it didn't rot, and there were no worms. And Moshe said, Ichluhu hayom, ki Shabbos hayom l'Hashem. You can eat it today because Shabbos is a day to Hashem. Lo timsa'u basada, you will not find it in the field today. Sheishas yamim til ketuhu, we have sheishas yamim tavod. For 6 days you can gather the man, uvayom hashvi Shabbos, and on the seventh day the Shabbos. Lo yeba, there will not be any man. So it was on the seventh day, some people went out to gather, and they did not find any man. So we learn very beautifully about Shabbos, actually from the man. Yes?
But I find it interesting that it's the same food as the other 6 days.
Okay.
Because, you know, we're supposed to make Shabbos
special.
Special.
Okay, that's interesting. But we do know, and I'm actually going to quote it, that the man, that's interesting, that the man tasted, took the form of, or the taste of anything you wanted. So perhaps, that's interesting what you're saying. So it's up to us. Nice. You know, the same chicken that I buy for Tuesday night supper is the same chicken that I buy for Shabbos. And the same green beans are the same green beans. Perhaps you could say it's up to us to make it special. It's an interesting nakuda, but it did taste like anything they wanted it to taste like. So perhaps that teaches us we have to invest the food with the extra oomph, because lamaisa, it's the same food. I understand what you're saying. You could buy a roast special for Shabbos. Obviously, today we have a variety of food options that they did not have, but it's up to us to make it special, you know? It's the same apples, but somehow make them special for Shabbos. It's an interesting point. You were saying that?
Great.
So there is one mitzvah, and on the sixth day, we just quoted from it, they prepared what they brought. Hechinu es asher yavi'u. So let's go on, 1 second. Let me just repeat the pasuk inside. The pasuk is, v'haya b'yam ashishi, v'hechinu es asher yavi'u, v'haya mishneh al asher yilkutu yom yom. So we just had a lengthy excerpt from Beshalach. This pasuk describes, top of page 18, how the B'nai Yisrael in the Midbar prepared the man that fell on Friday, making it ready for Shabbos use. But Chazal tell us this pasuk is much more than that. It is a mitzvah for every Jew in every place and time to prepare for Shabbos. According to the halacha, this is considered a Torah-ordained mitzvah. If you remember last time we quoted from the Gemara, this one sat by the fire and stoked the fire for Shabbos, and this one went to 13 different butchers for Shabbos, and this one left meat by the kitchen door for Shabbos. So this one lit the lamps for Shabbos. It's a mitzvah for every Jew in every place and time to prepare for Shabbos. According to the halacha, this is considered a Torah-ordained mitzvah. So what Rav Pinchas is trying to say is that we started off this chapter by saying Rosh Hashanah is a special mitzvah. Shofar. Sukkah has a special mitzvah of Sukkos and Arba Minim. Yom Kippur has the mitzvah of V'nisa Mesnaf Shosechem. What is part of the Kedusha of Shabbos? One of the mitzvahs of Shabbos itself is the preparation for Shabbos. And it's really a way to elevate a lot of the mundane work that we do in preparing for Shabbos to recognize that it is very holy and Kodesh. I just want to quote a number of the sources on this pasuk. 16:5, which Rav Shimshon is basing this idea on. V'hechinu es asher yaviu. They prepared what they brought. So the Or Chaim says, Perush, ki hahava atzma biklal hahachana. The bringing of the man itself, the bringing of the food itself, is in the category of preparation. Utsrichin lahachina miyom shishi. So when you go to the grocery store, I'm really not making a joke, and there's a lot of bags to shop them yesterday, and there's no one to help you, and your trunk is, you know, kinayinahor, there's a lot there. Hahava atzma b'klal ha'hachana. That bringing, that of the food that you need is included in the preparation, says the Or HaChaim. It doesn't talk about the grocery, but the bringing itself is part of the preparation. Utsrichin lahachina miyom shishi. You need to prepare from the sixth day. Kedei shelo yaviu b'Shabbos, so you don't find that you're bringing it on Shabbos. V'hu ma'amar Moshe liYisrael al yetzi ish mimakomo. So they see the importance of the bringing it on Friday, which is part of the preparation, because you're not allowed to do so on Shabbos. Says the Sfarno, hechinu es asher yaviu v'hayim mishnah. They prepared what they brought and they were double. Gam achar hachana yia mishnah was an ace. After the preparation, it was double. So like we said, if someone brought too little, let's say you didn't bother to collect lechem mishnah. When you came back to the tent and you finished preparing, what did you find?
Double.
What did you find?
Two.
Oh, it grew. Not like, you know, when you make a sheep pan of vegetables, and vegetables have a lot of water. So after you roast them, the kids are like, Mommy, that was 7 yams. There's like... exaggeration, but like 5 pieces on the sheep pan. How did that go from the entire thing? So we have the opposite, or you make the roast and it was so nice and big before you put in the oven, and then 3 hours later you take the oven and there's this much meat. So they, Baruch Hashem, we had the opposite problem. They had the opposite bracha. Hichinu es asher yaviu v'hayu mishnah gam achar ha'hachana yihi mishnah. Don't worry, when you finish preparing it, it will still be double. You're not going to lose any along the way. Ki lo yechzar bevishul. That's exactly what the Sforno says. Isn't that interesting? Lo yechzar bevishul. That's what happens to us. When you cook, you find a diminishment. When they cooked it, there was no diminishment in the cooking process. Mamish is lashon. Gam achar ha'hachana yihi mishnah. Ki lo yechzar bevishul. You see? Va'amar vehechinu le'orer. Why does it say to prepare? Le'orer, to arouse them. She'yizdarzu la'aneg Shabbos b'matamim. How beautiful is that?
that, to arouse them, to be mizdareis, to have the alacrity, the zrizus, to la'aneg Shabbos b'matamim. How should you have oneg Shabbos? B'matamim. Call me name matamim. Tasty foods with delicacies. So you should be really running and aroused to prepare to have oneg Shabbos with tasty delicacies. V'shakol zrizusam b'zeiyah me'erev Shabbos. But when do you have to have the zrizus? On Erev Shabbos. Furthermore, the Balaturim says, Vahaya Mishnah, remember the Pasuk told us, Vahaya B'yam HaShishi will be on the sixth day. Vehechinu Eis Asher Yaviu, they will prepare what they will bring, which is what we're speaking about. I'm quoting Befarshim. Vahaya Mishnah, it will be double. Why are you smiling? You want to say something?
No, you said Sriza, so my mother reminded me that when Avi came home from preschool one day, he kept telling us, we thought he was saying that you have to do mitzvahs with Jesus. So we called his mora. We kept saying, what are you saying? And we couldn't figure out. And then she's
so
like,
every time someone says Jesus.
I can't. That's a story that we will forever remember.
You know, that's like out of the mouth of babes.
Yeah.
That's out of the mouth of babes. Bahaya Mishnah, it will be double. Alashel Yilkutu. So remember, if you only gathered one portion, when you came home, you would have two. And after you cooked it, says the Sforno, it's not going to be any diminishment. Bahaya Mishnah, it will be double. Alashel Yilkutu Yom Yom, what they gather each and every day. So the Baal Turim points out, Bahaya Mishnah will be double. Kol Maaseh HaShabbos Kaful. All the work, all the associations of Shabbos are double. It's a day of double blessing. Shnei kivasim, when they brought the karbanos, which we do not have anymore because of our sins, we've been exiled from our land. Shnei kivasim, two lambs. Shtei chikarim, two loaves on the table. Shtei neiros, two candles should be lit. And finally, Zachar v'shamar, two commands in regard to Shabbos. So Shabbos is a day of really a shafa bracha. It brings us double. Double karbanos in terms of the lambs, double loaves, double neros, and two commands to observe Zachar and Shamar. That's Vahaya Mishnah. So we should appreciate the bracha that comes with Shabbos. I also want to quote now from, beautifully, the Rabbeinu Bechaya. He has such a beautiful piece. Hineni mamtir lachem lachem min hashamayim. The previous pasuk, from which Rav Shimshon Pinkus quoted, he quoted 16:5. The previous pasuk was 16:4. Remember, the people complained, we don't have food. They left Egypt, it's the 15th of Iyar, they need something to eat. I'm going to rain down bread from the heavens. You have to listen to how beautiful the Rabbeinu Bechaya is. It's so beautiful. Al derech ha-kabbalah. Hineni mamtir lachem lachem min hashamayim. Loshon mamtir. Like, we translate it as, I guess, terrain. Miloshon mishameres, from the term of, like, to shamor, from guarding something. Miloshon mishameres. Vihi midas harachamim. What will rain down bread from heaven? Which mid of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Makes sense. Midas harachamim. Hamikabelas min hashamayim. She'alei hizkir Shlomo b'chachma. So the midas harachamim, which receives from the heaven and which brings down the shafa bracha from heaven, like Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei chapter 31, v'takam ba'od laila. It's a quote from what we call Eishes Chayil, which is the end of Mishlei. V'takam ba'od laila, she gets up while it is still night. V'titen taraf levesa, she gives sustenance and food to her household. V'chok lena'aroseha, and the law to her maidens. U'lashon hinini omeid, behold, I am standing. He is using these psukim to prove that it's the shafa bracha of rachamim. U'lashon mamtir yotzei lashchina. Hineni mamtir lachem min hashamayim means that the midas harachamim klapei the shechina is going to rain down for us bracha from shemayim. Ki Hashem hamiyuchad oseh shetamtir, this divine name will cause this flow to come down. V'lo haya kasuv tzarich lahazkir hashamayim. He says, why does it need to say hineni mamtir lachem min hashamayim? What could it have just said? Hineni mamtir lacham lacham. Obviously, what are we talking about? Matar. Or Geshem. It's coming from the Shamayim. It seems redundant. Why does God need to say, behold, I am raining down for you bread from heaven? It could just say, I am raining down for you bread. You would all know where the bread is coming from. If God says, I'm bestowing bread, you know, I'm raining down bread. I'm causing the bread to fall. So then, obviously, it's from Shamayim. So why does it say the word Shamayim? Biyadua shakol matar min Shamayim. It's obvious that the precipitation comes from the heaven. Avala kavana, but the intention is ki hamida hazos shahaparnasa ba'a misham lekol ha'olam, to tell you that through the mida of rachamim, klapi the shechina. Parnasa comes from there for the whole world. Kulo, everyone is sustained from the divine midah of rachamim from shemaim, bein be'elyonim, bein be'shvalim, whether it is in the upper realms, whether we are in the lower realms, mikabelas min ha'shamayim. Shamayim doesn't just mean, in this instance, I will rain down food from heaven. That's not what it means. The intention is, according to this Kabbalistic interpretation, which Rabbeinu Bechaya is bringing us, I will rain down with my midas harachamim sustenance for all creatures and all creations, whether they live in the elyonim, the upper realms, or the tachtonim, the lower realm. Shamayim indicates parnasa is falling down to us. And that is so important because it's not just talking about the man. We have to recognize that all the sustenance that we have from our clothing that we wear comes from parnasa. You have to be able to buy clothing. From the food that you eat, okay, it's not falling down from shamayim in the literal sense, but we have to understand that hashkafically, it is falling down from shamayim. The homes that we live in, all of these things include the shafa bracha that is coming down from shamayim. Akavana ki hamida hazosha haparnasa ba misham lechol ha'olam. You have to recognize that parnasa comes from the whole world from shamayim. Klomar min harachamim. God in his mercy has compassion and provides for us from Shemayim. As Shlomo says, mi merchak tavi lachmer, from afar she brings her bread. Klomar ki misham bar parnasa. What does it mean, mi merchak tavi lachma? Merchak, what's far away? The Shemayim, so to speak, is far away. From there comes parnasa. From far away, from the heavens, comes parnasa. V'hamida zoz kara Shlomo b'shir. Shirim achosi ra'ayasi. Shlomo HaMelech calls this mida of Hashem, my sister. My beloved. So he calls the midah of Hashem that provides and sustains for us, Achosi, Ra'ayasi, my sister, my beloved. As the rabbis explained, Ra'ayasi, Parnasasi. What does it mean when Shlomo Melech says about the Ribbono Shel Olam, Shir Hashirim, Achosi, Ra'ayasi, my sister, my friend? So the Chazal say in Shir Hashirim, Medrash Rabbah, Ra'ayasi, Parnasasi. Vayati, my friend, parnasati, my sustenance. Ki la hayu makriv makarbanos, because to this midah of Hashem we offer the karbanos. Very interesting about karbanos. Chazal point out that if you look in regard to karbanos, there's only the only shame Hashem that's used in regard to karbanos is the shame of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Because what name does that indicate? What's the name Yud Kei Vav Kei? Midas. Harachamim. Why do karbanos? Why are they offered, so to speak, to midas harachamim and not midas hadin?
You're killing animals.
Right. So you're killing animals. So why are we offering that to Midas HaRachamim and not Midas HaDin? Because a carbon's a substitution. Alpidin, one strike and you're out. So there should be no substitution. I shouldn't be able to bring a Chatas or an Adava or the Seir La'azazel on Yom Kippur. It should really be
me.
But God in his mercy accepts the substitution. So interestingly, Chazal pointed out, and Soloveitchik speaks about this, that you never see Midas Hadin vis-a-vis the Korbanos, because those are two contradictory terms, so to speak. You cannot offer a substitution to Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin says, you can't pay me off, there's no kofar, you strike, you're out, finished. Midas HaRachamim says, let me give you another chance. I can take a substitution instead of you. Ra'ayasi parnasasi ki lahayu makriv makarbanos. To this same Midas HaRachamim, we were makriv the karbanos. Umisham ba haparnasa v'habracha shofa'as al kol ha'olam. When you talk about shafa bracha, here's that word. From Midas HaRachamim, from the Shamayim, from the arousal of divine rachamim to sustain the whole world, from there comes parnasa v'bracha shofa'as. The shafa bracha for the whole world. V'haya haman yoreid. Now this is very interesting. He says there are three watches to the night. The night is divided into three watches. The man fell in the third watch of the night. Third watch of the night. Why? But also mishmar shemidas rachamim mishameres, because the third watch of the night is the watch of the midah of rachamim. Man is a result of midas of rachamim. God sustains us through his midas harachamim. He has mercy on his creatures. We shouldn't starve. Therefore, he sends down food. Sha'arei shalosh mishmaros have halayla keneged hagedula hagevura v'hatifera. So this is very Kabbalistic. I can say that I understand Kabbalistic concepts at all, but we can understand this Rabbeinu Bechaya. The night is divided into three watches. Three. The man fell in the which watch?
Third.
And the third watch. Why? Because the third watch is equal to Midas Harachamim. God. Everyone's with me? The three watches are equal to Gedula, which you would call greatness. Gevura. How would you translate Gevura? It's Midas of Hashem, so we really even shouldn't be translating these things. Gevura means strength or courage. V'tiferes, glory. Those are the three watches. The third watch is Rachamim. Therefore, when did the man fall? The third portion of the night. So when they woke up in the morning and the dew ascended, that was the man. But it didn't just fall at any time. It actually fell during the third watch. V'nasnu chachamim. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, siman l'mishmara rishona. The sign of the first watch is a chamar. What's a chamar? Chamar, no air. An awake donkey. I'm not getting into this. I don't understand. I'm just telling you, each watch has a symbol. You're going to hear what the third watch's symbol is. The symbol, the siman of the first watch is an awakened donkey. Ushniya kalavim tzoakim. The second watch is the dogs are calling out, by barking. By the way, it's beautiful. It ties into this week's parasha, the Chol Bnei Yisrael, the Echad's care of Lashono. We went out from Mitzrayim that night. So it went against the dog's nature. They're meant to bark at that time of night, but they were not barking. Okay, Ushlishis. This is so beautiful. What's the siman of the third watch of the night? Tinok yonek mishadei imo. A baby nursing from his mother's breast. What does that tell us about Parnassah? The third watch is the watch of Tiferes, glory, God's glory. It is also the watch of Midas HaRachamim, when the Shafa Bracha comes down to the whole world through Parnasa V'Bracha Shofa'as, and the representation of the third watch is a baby nursing at its mother's breast. Ushlishis, Tinok Yonek Mishadei Imo. So what does that teach us about our Parnasa? A newborn baby, not even a newborn baby, who is the days before for a mother, are not a wet nurse. He is totally dependent upon his mother, absolutely, for sustenance. The third watch, which is Midas HaRachamim, which is when the man fell from Shemaim, representing sustenance to the whole world, is represented by a baby who nurses from his mother's breast, Klomar, Shehu's Man HaParnasa L'chol Ba'ei Olam. That is the time of Parnasa for all of the world's inhabitants. Shehi mizdamenes bizman shemidas rachamim misha meshes. Because the Parnasa is prepared at a time when midas harachamim is in effect. So beautiful. Does everyone understand the Rabbeinu Bechaya? Do you have questions that you didn't understand? Not beyond what I said, because I can't probably answer beyond this interpretation since it's Kabbalistic. But do you understand what we just said? Everyone's okay? Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. So, this is the special mitzvah of Shabbos. Okay? According to Halacha, so let's go back to the top of page 18, please. This pasuk describes how the Bnei Yisrael and the Midbar prepared the manna that fell on Friday, making it ready for Shabbos. But Chazal tell us this pasuk is more than that. It's a mitzvah for every Jew, in every place and every time, to prepare for Shabbos. According to the Halacha, this is considered a Torah-ordained mitzvah, so it's very interesting. But he actually just says this is a mitzvah de'oraisa to prepare. V'chinu es asher yaviyu, you should prepare what you brought. So if you prepare, it's a mitzvah de'oraisa. So yesterday I had mamish many long and tiring hours in the kitchen. I was trying to think v'haftarecha kamocha, and I was trying to think hachnasas arachim, I was thinking v'haftarecha kamocha, v'nishmartem al nenav shesecham, shalom bayis, toras imecha, l'kavod Shabbos kodesh. But it's nice to keep in mind that your mom is fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa. It gives it a whole new meaning. If you really have in mind that this is a mitzvah d'oraisa, v'hechinu eis asher yaviu, and it doesn't seem exhausting anymore, because it's like any other mitzvah that we are osek in, and it elevates it to a beautiful level. So even any errand you run for Shabbos, any errand, from the smallest to the biggest, you pick up one thing in the grocery, you pick up 20 things in the grocery. It's a Torah-ordained mitzvah to prepare for Shabbos based on the Man, Parshas Peshach. And this is the special mitzvah of Shabbos. We tap into Shabbos' great Kedusha by preparing tasty food for the day. Fish, kugel, cake. Remember we quoted, I think it was the Sfarno, I shouldn't have closed this. I think it was the Sfarno who said so beautifully. It is. Heichinu le'orer sheyizdarzu, to be aroused, to have zrizus, la'aneg Shabbos b'matamim, to bring a degree of oneg Shabbos through tasty delicacies. But this sounds a little strange. On Rosh Hashanah, we need to blow the shofar. It's a powerful spiritual act that has many deep meanings. The Rambam writes that it's meant to wake us up from our deep slumber. Similarly, eating matzah on Pesach has tremendous spiritual power and significance. This week's Parshas Bo. They go out, they bind up the dough in their shoulder. Taram yichmatz, says the pasuk towards the end of Chav Tes. Didn't have time to rise. The same goes for the sukkah and the lulav on Sukkos. Zohar says that matzah is lechem d'mei menusa, bread of amuna, and that the sukkah is tzila d'mei menusa, shade of amuna. The same goes for sukkah and lulav on Sukkos. What do we do when it comes to Shabbos, which is equal to all the mitzvos? On Friday we prepare some fish, or you shine your shoes. Is that all you need to do in order to reach the holiness of the sacred day? So you would think there would be something much more earth-shattering like shofar or monumental. I mean, you can imagine if you had to build a sukkah every week, it would be a little difficult. But still, in truth, preparing fish will not enable us to attain the greatness and holiness of Shabbos. How do you tap into the holiness of Shabbos? Neither will anything else. This is because Shabbos Kodesh is a special gift from Hashem. There's only one way to get it.
Prepare.
To want it. It says in the biography of Mordechai Gifter Zatzal, when he was a young boy, he was American, born and bred Gadol. Rav Shimon Shkop, one of the European Gadolim, pre-war European Gadolim, Zecher Tzadikim, Kloshim Levracha, Rav Shimon Shkop came to America, and Rav Gifter had the opportunity, he was taken to get a bracha from Rav Shimon Shkop. It's brought down in the Mordechai Gifter Art School biography. And Rav Shimon Shkop gave him a bracha in Yiddish that he repeated for many years, years and years, to all of his Talmidim. And Rav Shkop's bracha was, you should always want to learn. That's different than saying you should excel in your learning, you should be a Talmud Chacham, you should be a Baki in Shas. You first have to want it. You have to want to want. Then you can reach higher Madriga. So too, says Rav Pinkas here with Shabbos. It's a very special gift, just like Torah is a very special gift from Hashem. But there's only one way to get that special gift. What is that way? You have to want it. And we have to ask ourselves, I have to ask myself, when I go through all those preparations, and sometimes we're tired, and sometimes maybe not you, and sometimes it's overwhelming, and sometimes there's a lot to do. I hope I'm not the only person who gets tired. So I shouldn't say sometimes not you, maybe also you. But we have to ask ourselves, what is all this preparation for? We have to remember that we are preparing. The preparation is a doraisa, v'hechinu es asher yaviyu. You will prepare what you brought in. However, we have to remember we're doing all this to access the kedusha of Shabbos. It's not only to have tasty delicacies, which we should have. It's not only because the man tasted like whatever we wanted. It's not only so we should have enough food because we can't go to the field to pick man tomorrow. It's to access the kedusha of Shabbos. And we have to remember that. We do not have to generate the Kedusha of Shabbos by doing special mitzvahs such as sofar and matzah. You don't have to generate the Kedusha. Why not? This is because the Kedusha of Shabbos comes as a gift from heaven, which really relates back to the beautiful Rabbeinu Bechaya we saw. If there was a Shefa Bracha every day, we saw the words from Parnasa Bracha Mishupa'as that came to the whole world in the third watch of the night, which is equal to a baby, a suckling child at the mother's bosom, which is equal to the Parnasa and our utter dependence on the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then on Erev Shabbos, there was a double Shefa. Why? Because there was a double Midas HaRachamim, so to speak, because Hashem needed to give us even more. It had to last for 2 days. So this is because the Kedusha of Shabbos, it's a gift from Shamayim. It is given to anyone who desires it and truly yearns it. My kids, we were just in the Judaica store this week, so my daughter wanted a book. It's a little, do you have it? You know, great Jewish letters, great Jewish photographs. Have you seen them by Rabbi Bamberger? Oh, they're beautiful.
Fantastic. Like that. They're gorgeous.
So I have Gedolim. Great Jewish letters. It's a big Gedolim one. Then they have great
Gedolim.
Jewish.
Yeah.
So what?
Gedolim. Yes.
They have. Gedolim. It's yes. Part of the great Jewish
one
series.
One of the first ones.
Oh, so there's one great Jewish sayings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's beautiful sayings by all different rabbis. Mm-hmm. So the Kotzker Rebbe famously said, "Where is God found? In the place where He is allowed entry." So some of you are nodding yes, which means you must have heard this before. And that's exactly what Rav Shimshon Pinkus is saying. Shabbos has a tremendous Kedusha in himself. You don't need to go blast the shofar to wake everybody up to arouse the Kedusha. The Kedusha is already there. The question is, do we want to live a life of Ribbono Shel Olam? I was just listening yesterday to a short shiur of Shai Shechter, but he was talking about tefillah. But I think I could use his mashal to relate to Shabbos as well. He said, let's say a person's invited to a wedding. Okay? You're invited to a wedding. It's a mere acquaintance. It's someone you sit next to in shul. You say hello, or you don't really socialize, but they felt they had to invite you. So it's late. It's a tircha. Are you really going to get a babysitter? You're going to go for 5 hours. You're going to go late to the wedding. You'll go after the chuppah. You'll have one dance. You'll eat something and you'll leave. Now let's say, who's making a wedding? You're chavrusa from yeshiva, and you've maintained a kesher, and you've had children together, and you went to each other's bar mitzvahs, and you always maintain your friendship, but he's making a wedding. So you're not going to, of course you're going to get a babysitter. Of course you want to be at the wedding. You want to share in the simcha. You have a close kesher with the baal simcha. Now let's say you're the mechutin. Not the mechutin. Not your mechutin's making a simcha. You're the mechutin. So you're going to be there at noon at the wedding hall. And is anyone going to say to you, why are you here so early? I was going to say, why are you here so early? I have pictures, I have to get dressed. The makeup lady's here from my wife and my children. The seamstress tasked me to tell. Of course you're there, you're the mechutin. So he was talking about tefillah. How do we come to daven to Hashem? Are we like the person who, you know, chaparain, okay, it's man tefillah, I'm running late. He says, during chazar soshats, you're checking your phone because how long is this taking? And you run right out. That's the first person you don't really have interest in being there about. You feel an obligation. The second person, you have a connection. But the third person, the mechutin, if you see yourself as v'hu kechasan yotzei michupasu, we're coming up to Parshas Yisro, right after Beshalach, and Matan Torah wasn't the erusin between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Are you the mechutin at the wedding, or are you just like the guest? But I think you could also relate it to Shabbos, and I hope there are safer-based classes that I'm mamish teaching for years and years. I heard of Shai Shech saying a totally different shira, because his Pirkei Avos shira with the woman apparently is taking a very long time. But he says his father's shlita, Rav Heschel Shech, says it's chus for Arichus Yamim. Because he's drawing the shadow, you still need to keep learning. So you will see, Ezra Hashem, that all of our collective and individual Shabbos relationship will really change. It takes time. We'll be working and it'll change. So we have to ask ourselves, where is our relationship with Shabbos? Do we rush in? And like the first person who goes to the wedding, you don't really want to be there, but you get through all the preparations. Why are we here? Because you have to be here. And the minute it's out, you're leaving because you can't wait to leave. Or like the close friend. Or are you the mechutin? And of course you're here. Now notice the mechutin. I think this really relates well to Shabbos, this mashal, because notice the mechutin comes much earlier because he has to prepare. He has to make sure that the wine is there. I know we hire party planners, but you understand the point. The wine is there. Did the florist arrange everything? Are there any last-minute details I have to go over? I don't just want to come to the wedding. I need the makeup. The mechutin is there so early because he knows he has to prepare. And preparing for him is, in essence, part of the simcha. It's not separate from the simcha. The preparation itself is part of the mitzvah of that wedding. It is part of the simcha of the wedding. So how do we look at our preparation for Shabbos? I wish I would have prepared before my preparations yesterday, but I'll have it in mind, Be'ezus Hashem, for next week. The preparation is part. So you're the mechutin. No one's going to say to you, why are you here at noon? The wedding, the chuppah is at 6 o'clock. Of course I'm here. Who shows up 5 seconds before the wedding? Nobody. Not if you're that close. So that's how we have to look. I think his mashal was for tefillah. Of course, we should keep it in mind also vis-a-vis tefillah. It's very important. Which kind of person are we when it comes to davening? But it relates perfectly to this. It relates absolutely perfectly to this. You need to take time to prepare. Where is God found in the place where he is allowed entry? Do you want to be at the wedding? Do you want Hashem to come to your house? Do you relish that time of preparation? Then you wouldn't be thinking of all the other things you have to do. You would be thinking, this is the only thing I have to do because I'm the mechutin. I am preparing to welcome the Ribbono Shel Olam to my simcha because I'm getting married. Of course I want to be here. I'm talking to myself. This is because the Kedusha of Shabbos comes as a gift from heaven. It is given to anyone who desires it. Rav Shimon Shkab says you have to want to learn. Then you can worry about being a God of the Torah. Then you can worry about being a Talmid Chacham. Then you can worry about making a Siyam Bashas. But do you want to even be there with the daf? And someone who makes an effort to prepare special food to honor the Shabbos. Oh, this is what you brought up before. to prepare special food to honor the Shabbos is showing he eagerly anticipates its arrival. So I told you I was going to mention about the man, because you asked about the man. You said it's all one food. It was a good question. We, of course, have a variety of foods, and we should make it special for Shabbos. So I'm quoting from this book, Shalom Rav, by Rabbi Shalom Rosner. Remember when he lived in our community? Congregation based in Freim Yitzchak, then he moved to Nofei Shemesh, and he established the community in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Vayomer Moshe, Zehadavar, will end Bli Neder with this. We're going to end with this. Vayomer Moshe, Zehadavar, Shartziva Hashem. This is what Hashem commanded. We already quoted this pasuk. Melo HaOmer Mimenu LeMishmeres LeDoraseichem. We didn't quote this pasuk already. Take an Omer of this man as a Mishmeres, a watching for generations, so that they will see the bread that I fed them in the desert when I took them out of Egypt. So this is a nice sum up of our class. We spent a lot of time basing this class on the man, based on Rav Shimshon Pinkas, who quotes the pasuk of preparing the man. Rav Shimshon, Rav Shalom Rosner quotes Rabbi Shlomo Zevin. He explains the man is the symbol of livelihood. We have already learned that in Rabbeinu Bechaya. There are three messages in the man that Hashem wants us to remember for all generations. So we sitting here have to remember this from the man. Three messages are, ready? Equality. He's going to explain which one, but it's a short part. Equality, refinement, and taste. The aspect of equality means every single person received exactly what he needed. No more, no less. If you took extra, the surplus would rot. If you didn't gather the right amount, you would have exactly the amount you needed, not less. The lesson to us is a person has to certainly do his shtadlus. But at the end of the day, whatever you have is exactly what Hashem wants you to have, because that's what you need. You don't need more, you don't need less. Which also teaches us that extra kishtadlus, killing ourselves in an office for I don't know how many hours a week, is not going to help you get more than Hashem wants you to have. That's equality. Second aspect of the man, refinement. The man was absorbed into their bodies in its entirety. The Bnei Yisrael never excreted bodily waste from the man. It was perfect nutrition. Similarly, our livelihood must be clean and pure, no waste attached, no lying, stealing, or unsavory behavior involved in earning a living. Our efforts and results have to be completely pure. These are the three lessons, l'mishmeres l'doraseichem. Equality, extra hishtadlus, is not going to make you any more rich than you would have been without the extra. Of course, you have to do your regular hishtadlus. Hashem gives you exactly what you're meant to have. Sha'asali, call. Sarki. Two, cleanliness. The man did not make them use the facilities. It was absorbed exactly. Person has to remain clean when it comes to parnasa. And three, the taste, because you brought it up before. With respect to the third aspect, taste, the manna, as we know, tasted however the eater wanted to taste. So they could make it taste like a standing rib roast. And earlier in the week, they could make, I'm not making a joke, I mean a little bit, but not really. Earlier in the week, it could just taste like spaghetti and meatballs. When it came to Shabbos, hechinu esosher yavi'u, esosher tofu ofu, esosher tevashelu bashelu, that's a paraphrase of the exact lashon. So you bake it, you cook it. Make it taste however you want. This teaches us whatever package Hashem gives us, you can make it taste however you choose. The magic of the man, the bracha of the man, and the lesson of the man is realizing we can make a good package taste bad, and we can make a bitter package taste delicious. It's all in our attitude, because that's our decision. The man teaches us equality. You can't get more than Hashem wants you to have. Refinement, make sure you remain clean and yashar. And finally, taste. Whatever situation the Ribbono Shel Olam puts you in, make it taste good. Because the taste of life is actually neutral. It's what you invest into it that will change the taste. A person can take a good package and make it taste bad. And he can take a bitter package and make it taste delicious. It's all in our attitude. It's our decision. Last paragraph. The manna laid the foundation upon which we are to view our personal wealth. All of the parnasa that we have, we mentioned, from clothing to homes to food. We need to make the best with what we are allotted. Equality. We need to earn an honest living. Refinement. And finally, we need to appreciate everything God gives us from the third watch of the night, because we are only, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, like a baby suckling at its mother's breast. Only then will we recognize the blessing that is bestowed upon us. Let's just finish the paragraph. So therefore, someone who makes an effort to prepare special food to honor the Shabbos is showing that you eagerly anticipate the arrival. It's such a great word of Shechter, such a great muscle. You're the Mecho, and of course you anticipate the time of the Chuppah. He's looking forward to it. You want to be there early. You want to prepare. Shabbos is on his mind. That's why he's making such a big deal preparing. That is how he attains the wonderful gift of Kedusha Shabbos. Where is God found? To the place where he is allowed. And with that, I wish all of us a very special, uplifting Kedusha filled.